Most often they are people who are living in poverty, although that's not always the case. They're trying to escape the condition in which they live. For example, one girl was living in the Ukraine, and she wanted a better job, and they said, "We have a good job for you in Italy as a waitress, and you can go there. We'll take you, and you can get a good job." And so she agreed to go, but then they put her into sex slavery. So people, they promise them a better way of life, and then when they get there, they find out that's not the case at all. In some cases here in the United States, for example, the girls are actually abducted, taken in there against their will. In one case, a girl was standing at the bus stop waiting for the bus. Another case, two girls were going to the ice cream parlor, and this car stopped, and they thought the driver was the father of one of their schoolmates. But when they got in the car, they found out that wasn't the case. And so they took them, put them into sex slavery. So there are a number of different ways. Runaways are contacted by traffickers within 48 hours after they leave home. So they're pretty vulnerable.
Do we have any statistics to show how many individuals are trafficked into and out of the United States every year?
Well, yeah, there are different numbers. According to the State Department, they estimate about 18 to 20,000 are trafficked into the United States every year. The CIA says it's more like 40 to 50,000. It's very difficult to get numbers because it's such a hidden activity, and right now crime syndicates are getting more involved in it. In two studies that were done, one in 2009 and the other in 2010, they showed that there are up to 300,000 American children, usually middle school girls, involved in sex slavery here in the United States. And these are American citizens. These are not usually girls from other countries.
So how does a situation as grave as this one go unnoticed?
Well, I think one of the reasons, like I say, it's just so hidden. They move people from place to place, so they might be in Little Rock one day and Chicago the next day or wherever. So if they get wind that the police are coming after them, then they will move the victims to another place, especially with the sex trafficking. If it's domestic trafficking and it's just they can't go out of the house and nobody knows that they're even there. In some cases, they work on farms, so agricultural slaves. In some cases, they're in factories, and they're locked in and usually don't go out. So it's just very, very difficult to find them and to track down and get numbers. And also, there was one case, for example, where there were slaves in the restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they were, frightened, but they were threatened. If you try to escape or you say anything to anybody, we will kill your family. And they were from, in that case, they were from a remote village in China, and the traffickers knew where their family was. So they threatened them with death or jail, or they threatened their families. And so they're afraid to try to escape in some cases.
On a rating system developed by Polaris Project, an international nonprofit that works towards countering human trafficking, the state of Arkansas ranks among the 9 states that are really ill-equipped in dealing with this problem effectively.
That's correct.
Obviously, somewhere there is a lack of knowledge and understanding, and our legal system needs to be maybe improved upon, or there need to be additions to deal with this situation.
The two laws that Arkansas, or the two items that Arkansas has, is labor trafficking and sex trafficking. That's in their law, but they don't have anything in terms of, or at least it's not adequate in terms of helping the victims. They don't have anything about forfeiture of funds by the traffickers to give back to the victims. Another thing, in some states they can go to court after the victims have been freed and have a civil lawsuit. Arkansas doesn't have that in their law. It has two things, and there should be 10, according to the Polaris Project, to have a really good law.
When you're dealing with victims and the overall problem of human trafficking, how do you even start addressing the problem, starting with the root cause? What are the steps that can be taken to counter this problem?
My role has been just to inform people about what the problem is. So social service people, law enforcement people actually work with the victims themselves. But they do need a lot of psychological help, often need physical help because they've been physically abused. They need safe houses, and that's one of the big problems that we have in the United States today. There is a safe house in Indianapolis. As far as I know, there are no safe houses in Arkansas. We need more safe houses where these people can go afterwards and get the help that they need.
So for people who want to help, common people like me, what should I do or how can I help?
I think one of the things is to help change the laws, talk to your or write to your senators and representatives. And if you go to the Polaris Project site, that would tell you what needs to be done to improve the laws here in Arkansas. So that would be one thing. And then get, you know, encourage other people to do the same thing. I think another thing, in all of the examples that I have in the talks that I give, it's just ordinary people who recognize the signs. For example, somebody went to this restaurant in Albuquerque, and I think I mentioned that. They just saw the waiters and waitresses, and they looked depressed and anxious and like they were supervised all the time, and they called the FBI, and they investigated, and they were slaves. In another case, a man was taking a little boy on a plane, and from the conversation that the man and the boy had as they were buying the ticket, the agent got suspicious. And so gave them the ticket, but then notified the people at the gate and people on the way to check it out. And that little boy was a slave. So, you know, kind of being aware of the signs and not necessarily interfering with the person, but calling the national hotline. Okay, it's 888-3737-888. And telling them the story, and then they will contact the local people. Praying for the victims and praying for the traffickers is really important, because until there's a change of heart by the traffickers, I don't think it's going to end. And then, like I say, encouraging people to, I think, helping people to be educated about it, educating law enforcement people is really important, because they need to know. But sometimes they think girls just want to be prostitutes, and so they arrest them and put them in prison, and they're not there on their own at all. They're not there freely. So those would be some of the things I would recommend.